Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 18, text number 23. Okay, good. So, yes. Sa Twam Mamapi Achuta Sirshni Vanditam Karambujam Yat Twad Adyayi Satvatam Vibarsi Mam Lakshma Varinya Mayaya Ka Ishvarasyehitam Uhitum Vibur Iti Swatam Mappi Achuta Sushnivanditam Karambujam Yat Twadadaya Satvatam Vibarshimam Lakshma Varenya Mayaya Kaishvadas Jehitam Uhitam Viburiti Satvam Amapi Achuta Sushnivanditam Karambujam Yat Twadadaya Satvatam Vibarshimam Lakshma Varenya Mayaya Kai Ka Ishvaras Jehitam Uhitam Viburiti Satvam Amapi Achuta Sushnivanditam Karambujam Yat Twadadaya Satvatam Vibarshimam Lakshma Varenya Mayaya Kaishvara Karishvaras Jehitam Uhitam Vibur Iti Please chant. Can you see it? Satamamapi Achuta Sushnivanditam Karambujam Yat Twadadaya Satvatam Vibarshimam Lakshma Varenya Mayaya Kaishvari Shetam Uhitam Viburiti Matajis. Satvam Amapi Achuta Sushnivanditam Kanambujam yatvaradai sattvatam. Vibhashimam lakshma varenya mayaya. Kayeshwadeshi hitam uhitam vibhur iti. Word meanings? Saha. That. Twam. You. Mama. Of me. Api. Also. Achyuta. O infallible one. Sirshni. On the head. Vanditam. Worshipped. Kada Ambujam. Your lotus hand. Yat. Which. Twat. By you. Adayi. Placed. Sattvatam. On the head of the devotees. Bibarshi. You maintain. Mam. Me. Lakshma. As an insignia on your chest. Varenya. O worshipable one. Mayaya. With deceit. Ka. Who. Ishvarasya. Of the supremely powerful controller. Ihitam. The desires. Uhitam. To understand by reason and argument. Vibhu. Is able. Iti. Thus. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O infallible one, your lotus palm is the source of all benediction. Therefore, your pure devotees worship it, and you very mercifully place your hand on their heads. I wish that you may also place your hand on my head. For although you already bear my insignia of golden streaks on your chest, I regard this honor as merely a kind of false prestige for me. You show your real mercy to your devotees, not to me. Of course, you are the supreme absolute controller, and no one can understand your motives. Please repeat, O infallible one, your lotus palm is the source of all benediction. Therefore, your pure devotees worship it. And you very mercifully place your hand on their heads. I wish that you may also place your hand on my head. For although you already bear my insignia of golden streaks on your chest, I regard this honor as merely a kind of false prestige for me. You show your real mercy to your devotees, not to me. Of course, you are the supreme absolute controller, and no one can understand your motives. Purport. In many places, the Shastras describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead as being more inclined toward his devotees than toward his wife, who always remains on his chest. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-15, it is stated, Natata me priyatma atmayonir na sankaraha na cha sankarshano na shrir naivatma cha yata bhavan priyatma. That's it. Here Krishna plainly says that his devotees are more dear to him than Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Shankarshan, the original cause of creation, the goddess of fortune, or even his own self. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.20, Sukadeva Goswami says, Nemam virincho na bhavo, na shrirapi angasam shraya, prasadam lebire gopi, yatat prapya vimuktitad. The Supreme Lord, who can award liberation to anyone, showed more mercy toward the gopis than to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or even the goddess of fortune, who is his own wife and is associated with his body. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.60 also states, there's another book here if someone wants, Naham Shriyo Ga Nayam Shriyon Ga U Nitanta Rate Prasada Swar Yositam Nalina Ganda Rucham Kuto Nya Rasotsave Swa Buja Danda Grihita Kanta Labdashisham Ya Udagad Raja Sundarinam. The gopis received benediction from the Lord that neither Lakshmi Devi nor the most beautiful dancers in the heavenly planets could attain. In the Rasa dance, the Lord showed his favor to the most fortunate gopis by placing his arms on their shoulders and dancing with each of them individually. No one can compare to the gopis who receive the causeless mercy of the Lord. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that no one can receive the real favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without following in the footsteps of the gopis. Even the goddess of fortune could not receive the same favor as the gopis. Jai Shri Jayapataka Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. Even the goddess of fortune could not receive the same favor as the gopis, although she underwent severe austerities and penances for many years. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discusses this point with Vyankata Bhatta in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's in Madhya 9, 111 to 131. Quote, the Lord inquired from Vyankata Bhatta, your worshipable goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always remains on the chest of Narayan, and she is certainly the most chaste woman in the creation. However, my Lord is Lord Sri Krishna, a cowherd boar, engaged in tending cows. Why is it that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my Lord? Just to associate with Krishna, Lakshmi abandoned all transcendental happiness in Vaikuntha, and for a long time accepted vows and regulative principles and performed unlimited austerities. Vyankata Bhatta replied, Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan are one and the same, but the pastimes of Krishna are more relishable due to their sportive nature. They are very pleasing for Krishna's saktis. Since Krishna and Narayan are both the same personality, Lakshmi's association with Krishna did not break her vow of chastity. Rather, it was in great fun that the goddess of fortune wanted to associate with Lord Krishna. The goddess of fortune considered that her vow of chastity would not be damaged by her relationship with Krishna. Rather, by associating with Krishna, she could enjoy the benefit of the rasa dance. If she wanted to enjoy herself through Krishna, what fault is there? Why are you joking so about this? Lord Chaitanya replied, I know that there is no fault in the goddess of fortune, but still, she could not enter into the rasa dance. We hear this from revealed scriptures. The authorities of Vedic knowledge met Lord Ramchandra in Dandakaranya, and by their penances and austerities, they were allowed to enter into the rasa dance. But can you tell me why the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, could not get that opportunity? To this, Vyankata Bhatta replied, I cannot enter into the mystery of this incident. I am an ordinary living being. My intelligence is limited, and I am always disturbed. How can I understand the pastimes of the Supreme Lord? They are deeper than millions of oceans. Lord Chaitanya replied, Lord Krishna has a specific characteristic. He attracts everyone's heart by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Vrajaloka or Goloka Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. However, the inhabitants of that planet do not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unaware that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the residents of Vrindavan, like Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, and the gopis, treat Krishna as their beloved son or lover. Mother Yashoda accepts him as her son and sometimes binds him to a grinding mortar. Krishna's cowherd boyfriends think he's an ordinary boy and get up on his shoulders. In Goloka Vrindavan, no one has any desire other than to love Krishna. The conclusion is that one cannot associate with Krishna unless he has fully received the favor of the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi. Therefore, if one wants to be delivered by Krishna directly, he must take to the service of the residents of Vrindavan, who are unalloyed devotees of the Lord. Jai. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadanti Svabhadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Trubhyascha Kripasindubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. O Infallible One, your lotus palm is a source of all benediction. Therefore your pure devotees worship it, and you are very mercifully place your hand on their heads. I wish that you may also place your hand on my head, for although you already bear my insignia of golden streaks on your chest, I regard this honor as merely a kind of false prestige for me. You show your real mercy to your devotees, not to me. Of course, you are the supreme absolute controller, and no one can understand your motives. So this is the last prayer of the 9 verses that are given by Lakshmi Devi to Lord Kamadev or Pradyumna. And these are very elevated prayers. There's actually a lot in just these 9 verses. Practically our whole philosophy is there. And such deep realizations that Lakshmi Devi has. If we take these to heart, it's amazing what we can understand everything about Krishna's intimate association with his devotees. And all throughout the Bhagavatam, there's many wonderful prayers and great intelligent insight given by women. We know that the nice prayers of Kunti Devi, you know, all throughout the, there's different other women, beautiful prayers. So here we're finishing up on these prayers from Lakshmi Devi in this particular chapter. And then there'll be other prayers. So this is interesting, the concept of attractive land, and there's different areas in this attractive land, and what do? How do they spend their time? They pray. So this prayer is, it seems like it's everywhere. You look in all the different traditions and religions, they talk about prayer. You must pray. You must devote time to prayer. You must make a special time during the day to pray. You know, they make these, this is the whole thing. Prayer is very important. But what is this prayer? Prayer is very interesting. It's actually, it's practically what we do all the time, isn't it? Your desires, your thoughts, what you're thinking, what you want. We're always praying for these things, right? So, you know, as it's described in throughout the Bhagavatam and all the Vedic literatures, it's described how by our thinking, you know, you're creating your next body. So from your thoughts manifests, you know, your actions, and by your actions you create karma. So this karma creates your next bodies. So this is the whole process of Krishna consciousness, is to somehow or another bring our mind to the most elevated form of thinking. And this is what we experience in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the thinking we're seeing of Lakshmi Devi here and all the other great devotees, like previously Prahlad Maharaj. Their highest form of thinking, which is amazing. So there, she's absorbed in these chants and these mantras to the Lord. And this Kamadevi, he appears as the Krishna's son, Pradyumna. And it's interesting how this Pradyumna, it's described how he is actually has a material body, but he acts spiritually. So Krishna can actually take a material body and still be spiritual. He can do anything with any of his energies. So that's an interesting thing about this particular thing. So, but we know that, you know, it's described that it's not spiritual, but it's material, that he can accept anything and he can still act spiritually. So Prabhupada describes in this chapter, in this particular prayer, is actually that the goddess of fortune, these prayers are so full of spiritual power that if a devotee chants these, he can become completely perfect. He can become a perfect devotee of the Lord. And you could get complete liberation from material bondage by chanting this particular mantra. As we know, we should always be chanting the Bhagavad Gita. There's that verse that describes Satatam Kriyanta Umam Yatantas Cha Drida Vrataha Namam Yatantas Cha Mam Bhaktya. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me. The great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So, a devotee, Prabhupada describes, who both in this life and the next chants the Maha Mantra, or any mantra, is called Nitya Yukto Pasaka. So he becomes a pure devotee. So these nine verses that we just finished are the realizations of Lakshmi Devi. So what did we learn from these, actually? She's explaining how Krishna is the source of everything, of all her ability to use her senses. He control of everything. He's the master of our bodily, mentally, and intellectual activities. He's the only enjoyer of all these things. And everything is his energy. So she's seeing God everything and God supplying everything. And this is the first thing in self-realization. It's described in the second canto, actually, the Lord in the Heart, how it's described how with a little bit of intelligence and thoughtfulness, we can actually understand that there is a super soul and there's this individual soul. And he says, with the use of a little intelligence, we can see and analyze that I'm actually different than what I see. We actually can show that there's a seer. So with this, we can see that, I'm not this body, I'm not this hand, I'm not this, you know, things that we perceive. So there's a difference between the seer and the seen. And then Prabhupada also explains how we can see that everything that we do or that we see can't do it on our own. It's supplied by someone. So all these external arrangements are given to us. They're supplied by some other place, some other person. So there we could see that we're not only different from these things, but they're also supplied to us. And then going further, we can see that we can't even act and move amongst these different things, these mature energies, unless we're directed by some personality. And Prabhupada describes this as the director, the form director of intelligence, which is the supersoul. So in this way, gradually one can perceive how he's different from the body. He's a spiritual being. and that there is this Supreme Personality who's a controller or director of everything that we do. And this is the Super Soul. So Lakshmi Devi here is praying and realizing that actually Krishna, you're doing everything. She has this realization that we're not of this world. And then she also mentions how people are praying to her. She brings up this thing of prayer. She's praying herself, and she's bringing notice to how people pray to her and they perform sacrifices and austerities to gain something of this world, to gain a false protector of a husband. So she tells these, she talks about these women who are just interested in trying to satisfy these material desires, which is ultimately not real. It's fruitless. And how she explains that Krishna, he's actually the real husband. He's the real controller. He is actually the real provider and protector. And it's interesting how I was listening to some memories of Srila Prabhupada, and they were talking about how in France, when Srila Prabhupada came there, they arranged for some of the dignitaries, I guess someone equal to like a mayor, I forget what they call the term in that country, but they made an arrangement for Prabhupada to meet him. And actually, it was a public thing. So the devotees were there and everybody's there, and they're explaining to them that, yes, you have to, as soon as he comes, everybody should stand. And there have to be proper etiquette, and everything has to be there. So when the mayor, whatever you call him, arrived, Srila Prabhupada didn't stand. He was the only one that didn't stand. And they're saying, Prabhupada, we're supposed to stand. And he goes, stand up for who? Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada didn't stand. He just stood. He just sat. And which was interesting. And then when Prabhupada actually was asked to speak too. So when Prabhupada was asked to speak, he stood. And then from that point, he was explaining how, and Prabhupada explains in a purport, how sometimes people, they claim to be the providers, the husband, you know, the politician, the leader, the leader of society. If they claim to be this, then they have to actually guide the citizens properly by explaining to them the difference between spirit and matter, and how to actually get liberated from this material energy. So from there, the devotees realized how powerful Srila Prabhupada was, and the pure devotee, and how he understands who is the real provider, who is the real protector, who's our real leaders. And that's the director of intelligence, which is the Super Soul. That's Krishna in everybody's heart. So by taking advice from these intelligent prayers like Lakshmi Devi, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from these transcendental literatures, we can also gain this intelligence and realize how Krishna is everywhere, and utilize everything in Krishna's service. And so she was mentioning that how women, they pray to Krishna for these certain favors. But even Lakshmi Devi says, I don't favor anyone unless they're a devotee. So this is how Krishna gives his benediction to his devotees. They're very dear to him. He's described even more dear than he himself. And he gives his lotus palm, blesses them. Actually, it's even materially that explained, like in the health realms, they describe it right in this point here. There's energy that emanates from your palm, and you could prevent healing energy to people, and people can do that. So just imagine the energy coming from the pure devotee's palm when he blesses us by putting his hand on our head. And Srila Prabhupada, or what to speak of, you know, Krishna himself, you know, giving his benedictions like this. It's amazing. So they're worshiping, the devotees worship his lotus palm like that. So Srila Prabhupada gives some really nice references in this particular purport. And if we go through those references, it's like mining this transcendental nectar from the Bhagavatam. And this one verse that Prabhupada quotes from the 11th canto, when Krishna is saying how the devotees are more dear to me than anyone, even my own wife. What to speak of Lord Shiva, who is the most powerful and the best Vaishnava of all. And Lord Brahma, you know, he's the original creator of the universal universe like this. So he's saying it's more dear, but why? And it's described in the 11th canto, why? And this is the conversation between Uddhava and Krishna. And Uddhava is asking Krishna, there's so many different methods of worship and ways of self-realization in the Vedas. Which one is best? And Krishna was explaining to him that those who fix their consciousness on me, giving up all material desires, share with me a happiness that can't not possibly be experienced by those who engage in sense gratification. So here, a lot of scriptures, and we mentioned a lot of different religions, they actually pray. But what are they praying for? They're mostly praying for material things. And this is what Krishna does. He's fulfilling as a super soul. He's the provider. He knows your desires. He's there and he hears and he provides these things for everyone. Whatever you desire, Krishna's providing. And then according to what you, how you act and what you deserve, you get those things. But if you can imagine a type of happiness, a type of gratification that one cannot possibly be experienced by those people who are engaged in sense gratification. He goes on to explain that one who does not desire anything within this world, who has achieved peace by controlling his senses, whose consciousness is equal in all conditions, and whose mind is completely satisfied in me, finds only happiness wherever he goes. One who has fixed his consciousness on me desires neither the position or abode of Lord Brahma or Lord Indra, nor an empire on the earth, nor sovereignty in the lower planetary systems, nor the eightfold perfections of yoga, nor liberation from birth and death. Such a person desires me alone. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self, is as dear to me as you are. This is the quote that Srila Prabhupada quoted here. So this is how the Krishna becomes very dear to his devotees. Why? Because his devotees love him. Because they're completely absorbed in him. Because all they pray to him for, all they think about him is the Lord. Like that. So it's because of the devotee's pure love for Krishna. And then Krishna reciprocates with his love to his devotees. So Prabhupada also quotes from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in this verse where he says, when Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Lila, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women who are very beautiful according to material estimation. So, Krishna, he belongs to the cowherd. You know, he's like a cowherd boy, like that. So he belongs to this cowherd community. And the gopis are the dearmost lovers of Krishna. And although the wives of the denizens of the heavenly planets are most opulent within the mature world, neither they nor any other women in the mature world can acquire Krishna's association. And that's why the goddess of fortune, she wanted to enjoy Krishna. And, you know, at the same time, she wanted to maintain her body as Lakshmi. So, because of this, she wasn't following in the footsteps of the gopis in her worship of Krishna. So therefore, she couldn't get that association. And that's why Lord Chaitanya was explaining to this devotee. Because this devotee was a devotee of Lord Narayan. And he wanted to bring him to a higher form of worship. That actually worship of Radha Krishna is higher than the worship of Lakshmi Narayan. So this is the pastime that Lord Chaitanya was joking about why is it that Lakshmi Devi wants to associate with my Krishna? You know, and why is it that Lakshmi Devi couldn't enter the rasa dance? So this is the quote that Prabhupada was talking about here. And it also because it's described how Krishna has four extraordinary qualities not possessed by Lord Narayan. So the goddess of fortune desired these. And what were they? That he has wonderful pastimes, which are compared to an ocean. And second, his association in the circle of the supreme devotees in conjugal love, the gopis. And third, his playing on the flute, whose vibration attracts the three worlds. And fourth, his extraordinary beauty, which surpasses the beauty of the three worlds. So this is how Krishna is unsurpassed and is unequaled. Like that. So here Lord Brahma is quoting the 10th canto, and this relates to this. This is a translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yasoda, is accessible to the devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or those who consider the body the same as the self. So here another, again, it's confirmed how there's other forms of worship of Krishna, other types of austerities one can perform. But these will not get you the highest thing. This won't give you the highest realm of associating with Krishna. So, as Prabhupada concluded, and this is also another verse, therefore one should accept the mood of the gopis in their service in such a transcendental mood. One should always think of the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. So this is that prayer, is that we're thinking about Krishna. So, let's see here. So, after thinking of Radha and Krishna and their pastimes for a long time, then one becomes spiritually elevated and he attains an original spiritual body. And this is that whole process again, it's described. By the same way we think in the material world and what we desire, if we're thinking about Krishna and their pastimes, then in the same way we get a spiritual body. And we don't have to, you know, then we can experience real pleasure there. So this unspoken example of the connection of the goddess of fortune not able to attain association of Krishna is due to her opulent lifestyle, that she couldn't attain the service of Krishna in Vrindavan. So this, again, confirms that we have to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. And their style was very simple. All they cared about, they didn't care about anything for themselves. Not even like, I mean, you consider Lakshmi Devi, is everyone prays to her for so many things. They weren't interested in anything like that. All they were interested in was Krishna. So this should be our prayer. This should be our goal, is to become completely absorbed in Krishna like this. So, that's, yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu.
How can, you know, somebody like ordinary living entities be expected to do that, who are so, you know, she's so much more elevated? Is it just something for, is it like a pastime for our instruction, you know, to just illustrate that last point that you were making, that because of our opulent lifestyle, you know, she couldn't, therefore we should live simply? Because you think such an elevated personality, not even a jiva soul would be able to do that, if ordinary jiva souls, I mean, the sages in the forest of Dandakaranya you mentioned were able to. They got the benediction from Lord Ramachandra, but, you know, they somehow or another got into the rasa dance, where somebody as elevated as Lakshmi Devi couldn't.
Yes, it's described how, because she wanted to enjoy Krishna, and at the same time, she wanted to retain her spiritual body in the form of Lakshmi. So in that way, she didn't follow in the footsteps of the gopis. But the sages, they actually did follow the footsteps of the gopis. They actually were, you know, developed that love, that attraction for them and thought like the gopis, acted like them in so many different ways. They followed in their footsteps.
My question was, do the acharyas say anything further about it? Do they say, is that actually like a fault on her part? Are we to consider that, oh, Lakshmi was lacking in some way? Or is it just like a pastime for our instruction? So I was just wondering if you had any further insight into that from, you know, something, maybe some commentaries by some of the predecessor acharyas.
Yeah, so far as what I've read is that, you know, may not be the complete understanding, but see, she's the queen of Vaikuntha. There's Lakshmi Narayan. That's her position. And Radha Krishna, they're the controllers of Goloka Vrindavan. So there's two different realms. And sometimes, I guess, people can go from different places, but if you don't have that, if you don't want to give up one position to attain the other position, then you can't have it. You can't have both. It's like, you know, trying to be Krishna conscious and at the same time try to enjoy, like, putting water in the fire. You're trying to build a fire, but at the same time you're putting water on it. You know, in that sense, I think that Lakshmi, she understood her attachments, and she was, for our instruction, she was showing how dear Krishna is to his devotees that love him and only want him. And she was kind of admitting that I'm not really, I mean, I have Krishna, I'm associated with his body all the time, you know, I'm his wife, but yet he doesn't love me as much as he loves the gopis and his devotees. So she's given us that realization that even, you know, that we shouldn't be, so attached. So, I mean, as far as my realization goes, but I'm sure Archita has something to say about that. Oh.
Part of his question was, is there a fault there somehow?
Oh, yeah.
And that's just from our perspective. We're seeing that if somebody's stuck in Vaikuntha and they don't make it into the Rasa dance, they don't make it to Goloka, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
So going back to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, we have the pastime of Anupama, brother of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami.
Oh.
And he was a Rambhakta, and Lord Chaitanya jokingly tried to push him to Radha Krishna understanding, but he held on. And then he said, you're a real devotee. You're attached to Lord Ramachandra, and you won't give up the Lord for anything. He said, you're a real devotee. So it's not that if you don't somewhere to make it to the level of Radha Krishna worship, then there's something wrong with you. No. That's our perspective.
Yeah.
Anything in the spiritual world is perfect, whether it's Vaikuntha Dham or Mathura Dham or, you know, Dwarka Dham. Any Dham in the spiritual world is perfect. Different rasas, different tastes, variety.
Yeah.
So some devotees are attached to a particular taste of worship, and they don't give it up for anything, and that's perfect. That's fine. There's no fault on your part. Well, we were thinking that, we've heard that, you know, being a gopi in the Rasa dance is the highest effort. If I have anything less than that, then I'm somewhere where I'm falling. But it's not a fact. You could be, we all have an original position, and it's not that you're going to change that. We have an original position as a tree, as a cow, as a coward boy, a gopi. But in the neophyte stage, we're thinking, if I'm not a gopi, then everything is lost. I have to be a gopi, because being a gopi is obviously the best. And then you fall into the gopi baba club. But that's not the case. Any position in the spiritual world is perfect. And we all have our position. Huh? I can't answer for that. But I'm just saying, it's not that there's a fault on her part because she didn't make it into the Rasa dance.
Another thing following from his point is that in this world, we look at these positions because we're actually in another position, misidentifying with the material body. But in the spiritual world, no one has a material body to misidentify with. Lakshmi is her body. That's what she is. She can't change that. She doesn't want to change that. And I would answer his question saying that, you know, you can see it's some sort of a pastime, you know. On the other hand, it's true. She was not satisfied.
Yeah.
So I guess that's an achinya bheda bheda.
Yeah, she was aware of a higher position. And that's what Lord Chaitanya in this pastime that he was mentioning in this purport with this devotee. Why is it your Lakshmi comes to my Krishna? You know, because he was a worshipper of Lakshmi Narayan, and Lord Chaitanya wanted to elevate him even higher to Radha Krishna worship. And Lakshmi Devi herself admits that there is higher worship. And she will help devotees herself even and try to give them Krishna too if you pray properly to her. So, any other comments, realizations? Jai, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam.